The bill would change how some juvenile offenders are tried in Wisconsin is gaining support in the state legislature. In a recent opinion piece, two former Wisconsin governors at the opposite ends of the political spectrum voiced their support for the bill as well.
The so-called Second Chance Bill would return nonviolent first-time 17-year-old offenders to the juvenile justice system as opposed to the adult court system. Supporters say it's the best way to rehabilitate those offenders while still holding them accountable.
Joining us now to talk about the proposed legislation is Jim Moser, Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families. Jim, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, let's start by looking at the law as it stands now. Sure. So if a 17-year-old commits a nonviolent offense, how is that prosecuted in Wisconsin today?
Sure. Right now, any 17-year-old committing any offense, and it could be anything from a ticket, local, municipal citation for retail theft or disorderly conduct up through, you know, really any offense, gets filed or referred anyway to the adult system, and that could be an adult ticket or, in some cases, referral to the adult criminal court. And then it's up to the adult criminal court, the prosecutor, to sort of figure out how to prosecute and what kind of disposition and sentence to impose. But it's all adult, and it's all an adult record.
So if that same teenager is routed instead into the juvenile system, what happens differently?
What would happen differently is, for the first time, what we're proposing is for the first time nonviolent 17-year-olds that that be referred to, again, either a local, if it's a local municipal court, that it's treated as a juvenile, which has an impact on sort of what information is public and sort of what their record is, and oftentimes has things more appropriate for kids like community service and than necessarily fines that kids can't pay anyway. If referred to the formal court system, it would be referred to the juvenile court system, and an assessment is done and determination of whether to formally charge the youth, and if so, what kinds of services are needed to sort of get the youth back on track in the juvenile system.
Now, you think that we need to move in the direction of putting nonviolent offenders, teenagers, 17-year-olds, into the juvenile court. Why do you think we need to move in that direction?
Well, a couple of reasons. One is because we know that there are some implications and ramifications for 17-year-olds who end up with an adult record in terms of future employment, even things like access to federal student aid, things that for 17-year-olds who commit a, again, nonviolent offense, who don't have a record, ought to get a shot in, getting the kind of services they need. So we also know that the services are much more readily available in the juvenile system, and there's pretty good research that shows that, you know, basically providing those kinds of services gets the youth back on track, but and ultimately has pretty significant reductions in their reoffending behavior. So
and
it's kind of good for them and good for the community.
In terms of the long-term effects on 17-year-olds who go into the adult system, what are the ramifications there?
Well, again, those records are now, given our current system, those are available online. Future employers can look at those. Landlords can look at those. And as much as we would like to think that they wouldn't hold those kinds of things against the youth, if an employer finds a 17-year-old applying for a job who has a record versus a 17-year-old who doesn't, you know, it's pretty likely they're going to take the youth who doesn't.
So you're saying this is the kind of thing that you do something at 17 and it can follow you your entire life and change the direction it might have taken.
Correct. And some of these kids will end up in the adult jail, which is certainly much riskier for youth than being held in a juvenile facility. And that record does track with them. There are provisions for getting that expunged at times. There are some courts that are more likely to do that than others. But in terms of services, things like drug and alcohol services, for instance, we have 17-year-olds in the adult system who can't legally get the services they need because they're not 18. They can't sign contracts. They can't vote. They can't do any of the kinds of things adults can do. They can't serve on a jury, but yet they could be convicted by a jury. So there's all kinds of contradictions in that. Our proposal really is meant to be, again, those first-time, nonviolent 17-year-olds who, you know, do things that are, certainly can affect the community, but are not serious offenses. And the bill still provides that if the prosecutor believes it should be filed in adult court, they can still propose that to the court, and the youth could still be waived to adult court.
Now, in this morning's paper, there were a couple of opinion pieces by former Wisconsin governors. One was by Jim Doyle, another by Tommy Thompson. And in the case of Jim Doyle, it's an interesting one because he, in his past political career, was one of the people who helped funnel 17-year-old nonviolent offenders into the adult system. Why has he changed his mind?
Well, both of them, and certainly Governor Thompson was involved, was the one that signed the law, changed in 1995, that moved 17-year-olds into the adult system. Starting in 96, and at that time, and Doyle, of course, was Attorney General. And both of them at the time, there were a couple things going on. One was there had been a rise in serious juvenile crime in the late 80s and early 90s that actually peaked in 94. There was a feeling that the current law at that time was too heavily weighted towards protecting juveniles. And there was a sense that the way our system was funded and resourced, the best way to sort of get it back on track was to get 17-year-olds into the adult system. Since that time, both in terms of, again, better research about which system is really more effective, and this bill, which really tries to differentiate between serious offenders and basically dumb 17-year-olds who make, who do something stupid. I think they really have just come to believe that, we've learned more about how the brain works. The research is stronger about what works, what's more effective. And this proposal still allows serious offenders to be treated in the adult system. So I think they would argue, and of course they do in what they wrote, that this is really a step that can benefit the youth and the communities.
What you just said, that's something Tommy Thompson echoes in his piece. He says, sometimes kids make poor choices, and Jim Doyle references recent brain research. I'm guessing he's talking about research on teenage brains, which points to brains that are more likely to be impulsive and be risk-taking. So in your mind, is that part of this piece here that we need to maybe understand the brain of the teenager and legislate accordingly?
Well, I think yes. I would caution I would sort of wrap around that there are 19, 20, 21-year-old, young adults who, we know that the brain isn't really that well developed in those areas until mid or, later, 23, 24, 25. So one could argue that's an issue all along, and it is. We ought to be able to find ways to assess kids and deal with them constructively, and we just think the juvenile system is better able to, more geared towards that and better able to do that. It's also much faster. I think everyone would agree that length of time is important for kids in terms of consequences and being held accountable. And we know that the juvenile system, given the way it's written and the statutory time limits that are in there, is just a much faster system than the adult system. So the cases don't linger in the juvenile system like they might in the adult system.
Now, part of the original thinking in turning 17-year-olds over to the adult court is deterrence, I'm sure. So if these same 17-year-olds, who are thinking about maybe contemplating a crime, are they more likely to do it if the 17-year-old now goes to juvenile court instead of adult court?
Well, I think again, the research, are there individual cases where that might happen? Sure. But in a sort of a general sense, we're really talking about kids who are, again, kids who are impulsive, who are out with their peers. Most of these kids commit offenses when they're out with their friends. Somebody says, let's go do this. They kind of go along with the crowd. They're not, it's sort of by their very nature not stopping to think through the consequences of what they're doing oftentimes. And so, to sort of allude that they sit down and sort of a characteristic of them is they're not weighing the consequences one way or the other. So, sitting down individually with them when it's nice and calm, they might say that, but when they're out with their friends who kind of says, the friend says, well, let's go knock over these mailboxes, they kind of go, okay. So it's not, they don't tend to take that kind of thoughtful approach to their behavior that we hope, that we know adults do.
How does Wisconsin compare to other states in terms of legislation like this?
Wisconsin now is one of 10 states left that treat kids under 18 automatically as adults. There are, in recent years, Connecticut, Massachusetts have both changed. New York is changing and Illinois has changed. So Wisconsin is a sort of a dwindling number of states that treat some youth under 18 automatically as adults. So, you know, hopefully we'll be one of nine, ultimately maybe one of eight, or that will, you know, we'll make our changes. But the trend around the country has, the minority of states have done this, and that minority is becoming even smaller, and Wisconsin is hopefully on the right trend.
So as we've seen, this bill has bipartisan support. What's next?
Well, we're you know, we've had a vote in an assembly committee that was unanimous and a vote in the Senate committee that was unanimous, and so we're working to get it, you know, the political steps to get it, you know, to the floor and hopefully get it passed through both the Senate and Assembly yet here this spring. And it would take effect in January of 2015, so it provides time for counties and law enforcement and people to kind of get things geared up.
All right. Well, Jim, thank you so much for being here today.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Jim Moser is a deputy director of the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families.